and welcome to the Serving Up podcast, brought to you by the Chain Restaurant Total Rewards Association, or CERTRA. This podcast is focused on employee total rewards, compensation, benefits, and the restaurant industry relevant topics. CERTRA is a nonprofit HR organization dedicated to strengthening and enhancing total rewards within the restaurant industry. Total rewards encompasses employee compensation, benefits, paid time off, employee development, and things like work-life balance. To find out more about CERTRA or to become a member, please check us out at CERTRAweb.org. My name is Stephanie Foran. I'm the current CERTRA president. Today, I have Trey Darby from Lockton joining us. Lockton is one of our annual sponsors, and Trey has been a longtime friend and supporter of CERTRA for close to 10 years. He has over 35 years of employee benefits experience and has a core practice of restaurant clients that he has served through all of the complexities of healthcare regulations and innovative healthcare trends. Trey is a steady hand guiding his clients through all the changes of 2020 and always looking ahead. If you have heard Trey speak at one of our conferences or webinars this year, you've heard him speak proudly of his three adult children, his engagement, looking over the Colorado mountains, and his love of fly fishing and soccer. Trey, thank you so much for joining us today. We approached you about finding out more about the state of wellness in our industry, as well as, it's been a growing concern with all that's gone on with COVID, both before and after. So we really appreciate you hosting today. And with that, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Stephanie. It's my pleasure to be here today. This is an exciting topic for me, because I know that so often that when we're all together and we're talking, we're crisis managing or trying to put out fires, whether it's ACA or right now COVID and all the impact it has on the hospitality industry. Today is really exciting for me because we get to start to look forward and start to look at innovations and new ideas and what some real thought leadership and organization can look like in the areas of well-being. And I'm joined today by one of my colleagues, Kimberly Roberts. Hello, Kimberly.
Hi, Trey.
Thank you very, very much for joining us. Kimberly is a vice president with Lockton and out of our Dallas office. Kimberly, can you give a little bit about your background, please?
Absolutely. So, Trey, when I joined Lockton, I had joined from a large employer and spent 17 years of my career before joining consulting, designing employee engagement, benefit, and well-being strategy for Fortune 500 companies. So I'm definitely glad to be here and know how meaningful it is to really support employees in this space and ensure that you're getting creative when you need to and aligning the right resources to support employees in this area. So thanks for having me.
Well, you and I have had a lot of discussions over the last few months about the hospitality industry and about how the impact that they have had on their workforce. And I thought it was particularly important to have you today to talk about this idea of transitioning from wellness to well-being and what that means for this organization, for these organizations, and for this industry specifically. Let's level set just a little bit on what traditionally has been the thought around wellness plans for employers. And then I want to kind of transition a little bit into what sort of challenges the hospitality industry has seen with traditional wellness plans.
Absolutely. So, when we talk about terms, I think it's good to think of traditional wellness, as we're calling it, giving it a term there, is, that's a time period where I think we've been really focused on physical health, meaning nutrition and exercise activity, if you will. And so when we have looked in the hospitality industry, some of the challenges that have come up with traditional wellness is that focus on physical health, meaning let's do weight management programs, or let's focus on getting a biometric screening and knowing your numbers. A lot of those efforts have been aligned with ensuring that individuals know what they need to know to improve health and ultimately to improve healthcare cost. And I think where we are seeing that model transition across all industries, but even more so as we think about the hospitality industry, from a focus on just physical health to a focus on overall well-being, is there tends to be a need to focus on not just the element of physical health, but mental health, financial well-being needs, career satisfaction, job support, and just being recognized in this industry for doing a great job when it's at a place where customer satisfaction really drives some of the experiences that you have as an employee. And I think the added element there, where traditional wellness sometimes struggles in the hospitality industry, is the focus on a transient workforce, or even, you know, a population that is working, you know, different shift schedules, different challenges, and then also the turnover. And so if an employer had considered in the past physical health to be a primary goal to really focus on healthcare cost savings, sometimes that doesn't necessarily align with the transition that our employees are making in this industry. So that movement to well-being, to focus on a physical health that is really focused on their overall connection to their mental well-being, their financial well-being, and how that really impacts their career and their everyday livelihood in the work environment, has really become a stronger focus among employees of every industry, and clearly an area where the restaurant industry has made a clear statement during COVID and why that's so important, and why that togetherness in this approach is very important for the health of the employee and the health of, you know, the group of employees that are working together in this space.
You know, it's interesting you should bring that up, because I know that one of the challenges that my clients have had in the past is, you know, we've gone about this wellness idea from a health standpoint, and, you know, we're trying to convince, you know, 20-somethings about the importance of being healthy and involved in their own health. And many of them are just because of the very nature of their age, they are healthy, and that's not what they're concerned about. They have other real issues that they're trying to deal with. Like you said, from whether it's financial well-being, whether it's mental health well-being, whether it's you know, job satisfaction, that are much more higher on their priorities. And so not only do we not get really good movement of the needle, because the needle didn't need to move much, but we didn't get really good buy-in from the employees either about the value of these programs.
Absolutely, Trey. And I think you're hitting on something that's really important there. And that is just different ages and different industries. So as we think about, you know, some of the research that has been, you know, really focused in this industry and in this space, you know, one thing that Mental Health America did a few years ago in a study is really focus on all industries across the globe, and what were the industries that were facing the greatest challenge in just workplace health overall. And the restaurant industry and the retail industry were definitely at the lower end with the biggest challenges. So restaurant industry fit in the top three who were facing the greatest challenges. And some of that feedback is coming from the fact that sleep is very much needed in this industry, whether they're getting up super early to, you know, get things going in the morning and working, you know, a schedule where they're coming in at 3 or 4 a.m., whether they're closers and they're leaving, you know, at midnight or 2 a.m. even in some situations. And so sleep is really critical and important, and you may look physically healthy and maybe all your numbers check out, but you're not still getting the sleep that you need. And so other things that tend to, you know, become a greater concern among this population is just, one, in environments where there is access to alcohol, or just the fact that late nights are contributing to maybe, you know, going out afterwards, are lending itself to other issues down the road and other concerns as a way of a coping mechanism. So you have, you know, a younger age group, but they are predominantly getting less sleep and have access to things that, you know, there's other coping mechanisms that are being used that are not maybe standard or best benefit for them for their long term. So I think we'll continue, you know, to have an opportunity to focus on the things that really matter and, you know, make a difference. And so when you think about those are the elements that they're facing, and then you add on COVID-19 to this year with new safety protocols being put into place, financial strain that whether, you know, there were furloughs or whether there were layoffs in different groups, and they're really having to accommodate and say, you know, how do I deal with financial pressures? How do I get creative and maybe a new job or new role? And then how do I ensure, whether you were front of the house, back of the house, you're a leader, you know, you're an operator, or you're an executive that's having to make these decisions, I think everybody needs a little bit of a different approach to make a difference on what's meaningful to them. And so you've got multiple groups of individuals in this industry that are looking for resources, and they're not necessarily commonplace and common conversation when their ultimate goal is really trying to provide customer satisfaction. So there's not a breather in their day is kind of what I'm saying, Trey.
No, I think that's, I think you're right. Let's talk about these different quadrants that you identify as well-being, and let's talk about how, let's delve a little bit deeper into what that means for an organization to examine the quadrants of mental health, of physical health, of job satisfaction. Let's dive into a little bit of those. Would you spend a few minutes on each one of those and tell us kind of what you're seeing in the marketplace and what employers of choice are looking at today?
Absolutely. So let's start with the one that I think is definitely getting a lot of media attention and a greater focus. And that is something that's been, you know, evolving for the last several years, and a tagline that you might recognize that is continuing to get attention is, it's okay not to be okay. Where there was, you know, stigma 20 years ago that any mental health concern was really in alignment with substance abuse or something that was a crisis, there's now more openness in the conversation that's been, you know, definitely supported by media conversations, industry leaders that are coming forward and saying it's important for us to tackle this issue. And also the support systems that have been generated in the digital mental health industry have expanded significantly over the last 3 to 5 years. And so there's more support in different ways besides just looking at going to an in-person provider, if you will. And so in that mental health space, I think it's important to remember there's such a broad spectrum when we say mental health. And what that can mean is it can be as something as simple, if you will, of I need self-directed care. So resiliency apps have become more popular, whether employers are taking those on and, you know, purchasing those direct, or maybe they're just promoting them and they're allowing their employees to purchase that as a consumer app. But it's really about how do I focus on getting resources I need to help me, you know, either meditate or sleep better at night so that I can, you know, detox from all the events that have happened today. Or it could be something where I think we need to remember that there's been such a focus on COVID-19 and fears and financial strain related to the pandemic and those associated concerns with mental health. But we have to remember that people still experience life events during this time. They still lost family members. They had a baby. They may be dealing with postpartum concerns. They may have gotten married. They may now have a blended family that they didn't have, you know, a few months ago. And so those events have still occurred. And so there could be grief, loss, changes that are still needing to be addressed. And for some, that's great that there's an employee assistance program that can support in those areas. But where we've seen an evolution is especially in this millennial and Gen Z generation that you kind of hit on, Trey, by calling out the 20-year-olds, is they're looking for easy access, which means an app. It means they are used to talking to somebody anytime that they can on the phone, virtually via text or chat. And so the new space is saying, let's get that access to counselors, to behavioral coaches, to even psychiatrists through resources that are much easier to access and require, you know, less of an effort on the part of the individual to get the resources to schedule. They can do it in a matter of a few minutes on their phone. So I think that will continue to evolve. And I think that when we think about mental health and the needs of the employee and even their dependents, it's kind of expanding. Yes, anxiety and depression does get a lot of feedback. It does get a lot of attention, but there's also elements of just anger or stress or fear during this time period that need to be acknowledged and may need to be approached differently. And then I did mention, you know, earlier when we talk about the different groups of individuals, I think we can't leave out in the mental health needs. Not only do we have the spectrum of the individual, but we also have the support of the group, and the group could mean leaders. And so we are definitely our clients and other employers in this industry move forward with mental health training for leaders. I don't know if you're prepared, Trey, to have a conversation with your employees as a counselor on an everyday basis. And so I think there's great value in continuing to train leaders on what are the signs and symptoms to look out for. We do this in alcohol and drug abuse, but we don't do it when it comes to anxiety or depression or other needs where we might be in a pathway to crisis, especially in this industry. And it would be really great to ensure that our leaders are prepared. And there's a lot of vendors in the marketplace that are definitely helping employers do this even more, you know, visibly than has been done in the past, for sure. So Trey, as we kind of
that's great. That's really that's really good news. You know, I know that we have so much more publicity today over mental health, and COVID has brought out the need that we have to help people who are reaching out and need help. But the whole thought of adding leadership training to our leaders to spot and to be able to handle these sort of issues is, I think, really wise as well, Kimberly.
Yeah, and Trey, part of that is I think it starts to broaden the conversation. So you kind of asked the question too, which is, you know, what are the other elements of well-being? And mental health definitely is a recognized effort. And these are sometimes, you know, diagnosed conditions. Sometimes these are self-directed needs of care, but it's also getting to the root of what may be contributing to those issues. And many times we find there's other concerns, right? There's family concerns, there's financial concerns. And so one big area here, and I think this can be, you know, definitely viewed upon as a big concern during 2020, which is just the number of job loss. And so even if your employee didn't face the job loss, there's a high probability that somebody in their family did. And so knowing that there are financial concerns that are also contributing to other elements that these employees are trying to perform and put on their hospitality face, if you will, when they come to work, knowing that they're going to have a hard time paying bills on Friday, is an area where we're seeing more employers say, I want to help in this area. Maybe I was only focusing in the past on retirement and future financial security planning, but I really want to help my employees with budgeting, with debt management, with maybe even figuring out what do I do on buying a new car or buying a new house in this time period, or even ongoing as we think into 2021 moving forward. And we're just continuing to see employers take a more active role in supporting their employees in right now financial management versus future, you know, financial security planning. And I think the last thing that I would add, and kind of those elements of well-being, is really that focus on career and community well-being. And that is an element of just being recognized during this time that, you know, there are challenges as a leader. You're trying to manage, you know, your own perhaps anxiety concerns about what's going on and maybe some uncertainty as COVID still, you know, is impacting business. But even more so, being visible to your employees in a way that says, I know you're doing your best. I know that there's challenging times, and I just want to say thank you. And I think, you know, there's a lot of things that have been limited during this time, or a lot of things that maybe have been cut out that were normal rewards and recognition programs, or even acknowledging employees in maybe public views or quarterly meetings. And so just continuing to support employees in this space by saying you're valuable to the organization, even if it's an email or a congratulatory card, or I saw what you did with that customer yesterday, high five. Those are such meaningful events that we'll carry and are just as valuable as some of the additional programs that you may be investing in financially in the financial well-being or mental well-being space. And I think as you continue to focus on, you know, job satisfaction and needs, it's just continuing to be aware that that hospitality face is real. Those smiles may be bright when customers walk in, but being prepared on how our employees reacting and behaving at the end of a shift, or at the end of a workday, or what do they look like when you're talking to them online, or what kind of voice are you hearing over the phone? And, you know, watching out for those signs and symptoms that may say there might be some additional support that's needed here.
I love the fact that you brought up ideas here that don't cost money. There's, you know, as you know, right now the hospitality industry is suffering, and employees are suffering, and there's not a lot of extra cash to dive into new programs. And so I think that the fact here that it really don't cost money, I think is great, Kimberly. Because there are a lot of ideas here that really are just about being aware and being thoughtful and then implementing them that do not affect the budget. But for organizations that say, okay, look, we recognize that we have to do something differently than what we've done. Where do they start? Where do you start to eat this elephant?
Yeah, so I think that's such an important question, because there's so many different options. I know so many of those that will hear this message will be in vendor overload at some point of who they've heard from today, or who their peers might be using, or who they've seen in the media. And I think the first step is really focusing on what data do you have available, right? So I think you can use your medical and pharmacy data as a good starting point for indications of things to watch out for. You can use EAP utilization. And then also, when you think about your employee engagement data or survey data that you may already have, really pulling those things together. So Trey, I think you know how passionate we are, and the focus on kind of data drives decisions. And there can be anecdotal data, but we really also rely heavily on quantitative data that we can really kind of build that picture for our clients. And we think other employers can really benefit from ensuring they know what those things are, and where they may be limited on accessing data, getting pulse point surveys, or, you know, doing employee surveys is another way to kind of establish a set point of feedback that really can help you drive decisions. So I think that's important. Let's look at the data. Let's look at what we have and what we know to be true. And then let's look at the inventory of programs and resources that we have And I would really encourage that from not just what do we have covering, you know, mental health resources, but what do we have in our human capital bucket? What do we have in our financial well-being bucket, or maybe even community service resources? So I think what has been interesting is there are many employers who have focused on supporting community resources from a corporate social responsibility standpoint that some of their employees are benefiting from today. And that could be, you know, getting resources from the community for specific needs in the areas of well-being. It could be, you know, getting counseling support or other issues handled. And so I think it's really important for an organization to say, what do we have? You know, what do we have that we can maximize or deliver differently or just share with our employees in a different way that they may not have used in the past? And then I think the next thing is really setting the goals on what you're hoping to accomplish and what is really meaningful to your employees and what they're telling their leaders and what your executive team is really hoping to accomplish and make an impact, and have a time. You know, what is the goal and when are we going to accomplish that? Is that something as simple as getting something out, you know, before the end of the year in support of the holidays? Is that something that we want to launch and really focus on in January and really making an impact as we go into 2021? What is that message you want to be sending to your employees and on sustainability? And do you have that plan to help you be ready for issues that come up, not just today, but ongoing through 2021 and beyond as our world continues to evolve in this space?
Kimberly, I want to thank you again for sharing your wisdom and these ideas with my friends at Sirtra. I know you have made me very excited about the transition from wellness to well-being and what that means to our workforce. Do you have any closing thoughts?
So, Trey, I think the last thing that I would just share is just show your employees that you care. I think that's the most meaningful thing that you can do in this space, and that will look different for every organization as they think on, you know, what that means and how that's delivered. But at the end of the day, your employees, you know, want to feel valued and appreciated. And there's so many great ways that you can do that. And so we definitely applaud your efforts to do that. And so thankful that we could share, you know, some of the things that we've done with our clients and continue to see in the market. So thanks for having me, Trey.
Well, of course, if anybody listening to the podcast has questions or need to reach you, they can go through Stephanie or any of the leadership at Sirtra. But can we go ahead and give your email address too, should somebody want to reach out directly to you? Could you please?
Oh, absolutely. So that is K Roberts. So KROBERTS at Lockton.com. So would love to hear from them and answer any questions that they may have in this space.
You bet. Best stories. Like to hear those. Well, Kimberly, again, I want to thank you. Stephanie, thank you for having us on. We want to wish all of you guys well-being as you move forward. And again, thank you. Look forward to seeing you all in person soon.